you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Thomas Horn is an internationally recognized lecturer, publisher, radio host, and best-selling author of several books, including his newest, Forbidden Gates. Thomas has been interviewed by congressmen and senators about, and as well as featured repeatedly in major media. He received the highest degree, honorary doctorate, bestowed in 2007 from legendary professor Dr. I.D.E. Thomas for his research into ancient history. Dr. Thomas Horn, welcome to the Global Freedom Report.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure. Am I correct? Is it Dr. Horn?
It's an honorary doctorate.
Okay, well, there you go. It still goes there. Now, before we get started, I want to make clear, your achievements are shared with your wife, Nita, who has co-authored and co-lectured with you every step of the way. Am I correct?
Yes, about half the books that I've done, she's actually been the co-author of. She's always, of course, been the inspiration of. And, you know, when we set out to write this book, Forbidden Gate, the topic is so heavy, it was going to be so loaded with government documents, images out of DARPA's 2011 budget, that I wanted it, I wanted to have the softer side of Sears. You know, I wanted a woman. I wanted somebody to tell me, okay, you know, we're dealing with all this really heavy-duty subject matter here, but what is this going to mean to families? What does it mean to women? Why would anybody care about the human enhancement revolution?
And so I brought
her on board with me to help with that part of it.
And, yeah, I simply wanted, because she's not here, and I didn't want her to feel in any way that she was being disacknowledged by my going down a laundry list of your achievements, because in this case, your is a plural. And so if you're out there, Nita, okay, I just want to acknowledge you, even though you're not here, for your contribution. Now, you're going to have to forgive me, but my introduction comes straight from your bio, and I don't know a lot about you, frankly. For example, I don't mean to seem ignorant, but who is the legendary Dr. I.D.E. Thomas?
Oh, I.D.E., man. He in certain circles, he's legendary because he was a BBC correspondent. And now, we're talking a long time ago. IDE is almost 90 years old now. But he was one of the few people that could actually speak a particular German language or something that he knew how to speak. So he worked for the BBC. But he became a Bible college president. And then in about the 1970s, he was the one who wrote the very first book that essentially became the Bible, if you will, for Christian eschatology concerning things like aliens. Up until IDE, no Bible scholar wanted to touch the subject of aliens. Are there aliens? If there are, what are they? Blah, blah, blah. And what is the history around it? So he wrote a book called The Omega Conspiracy. And it has been the bestseller of that subject matter for probably 25 years. And anyway, so in certain
no problem.
Circles,
that's great. Again, I know a fair amount, and I know when I come across somebody, they're legendary, and I've never heard of them. I have to ask the question because that's just my nature. Also, now you got an honorary doctorate in ancient history. How did you end up? I mean, what qualifies you to speak on the highly complicated subject of enhanced humans?
Yeah, well, and on the surface, you would wonder, how in the world are these two things involved? You know, what does ancient history have to do with transhumanism, which is a very modern technological concept and philosophy? And what had happened, and I'll do this in as few words as I can so we don't dominate the show with this one question.
No, not at all. We only have about 2 minutes to the break, and then we're going to get into the real meat. So it's a quick answer.
Okay,
here.
So just really quickly, here's what happened. I was an independent writer. I was writing for the largest newspaper out of the state of Oklahoma, and actually they had asked me to do a feature article on the history of Halloween. Now, I, to this day, can't remember exactly what I was doing, but I came across the term during that research called transgenic. I had never heard the term before. This is about 15 years ago, 17 years ago. But I kind of got it. Transgenes, transgenics, we're somehow here talking about genetic manipulation. So I started trying to do a bunch of research into finding out what is transgenics really all about. The science was so new, the internet was so new, we didn't really have a lot of information around it. There weren't any peer-reviewed material around it yet, as it was an emerging field of science. But it was talking about blending human and animal DNA. And as I was trying to do research into that, what happened was I couldn't find any new material. I kept running into an ancient story about the Watchers, the God, who had come down and had mingled human and animal DNA and created these life forms into which they extended themselves. And in the Bible, these are called the Nephilim, the giant. And this led to judgment, and some people believe it led to the Great Flood. That's what, doing research on that, actually trying to discover what transgenics and transhumanism was about, was what melded those two thoughts together.
That's an amazing story, and thank you, because that was exactly my question. How does this relate to that? Now we're set to tackle this issue. My guest is Dr. Thomas Horn. And he's got an honorary doctorate in ancient history. But the topic for today is more about what I call advanced biotechnology. And I think I may have coined a term there. It's the idea of creating artificial beings. And you used the term, Dr. Horn, just a few minutes ago, transhumanism. Would you please explain what is transhumanism?
Well, transhumanism is actually a new cultural movement. Now, you could, in a sense, you could relate it to the ancient times, even as far back as Gilgamesh, the idea of men who want to become gods. Certainly, you could also relate those who are part of the transhumanist community to the Enlightenment era. But when I use the term transhumanism, I'm referring to a fairly new cultural movement, but it is a vast, growing cultural movement that has very powerful persons all throughout government and academia. And the idea behind it is that we now have the tools within our hands, recombinant DNA technologies, transgenics, genetic re-engineering of species. And we will be able to use these tools in the same way that we're already using them with genetically modified crop and genetically modified animals, transgenic animals. The next step is to begin re-engineering our own genetics, our own DNA, and the transhumanist community sees these very powerful tools, what in our book, by the way, we call GREN technologies or GRENS technologies, genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and of course the newer field of synthetic biology, that these are tools. We no longer need to wait on the daunting task of natural evolution. We will be able to take these tools in our hands and turn ourselves into gods. We will become something much more powerful, much better. Steve Austin, we can build the $10-6 million man or whatever they used to say.
However, and I've got to say, these concepts always are created and nurtured by people who have glorious dreams for their positive use. And they are always corrupted and perverted by people who use the technology for horrible, horrible things. And,
now, my friend, you have just put your finger on the issue. That is the issue. The technology is there. The technology is coming. The transhumanist community tends to be utopian. But DARPA and every other mechanism of a more dystopian future vision is now funding literally billions of dollars into this research, and they see it as the next arms race, according to the Pentagon.
I could envision that. I mean, I can absolutely see this, and there are so many issues that come up. I mean, in my mind, first off, just some of the basics, like with all the artificial this and artificial that, and nanotechnology and prosthetics and advanced prosthetics. At what point does a human become artificial? And do they have the same rights as real natural humans? If not, are we creating slave societies? If yes, how do we make the distinctions? I mean, this is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is the reason we wrote the book Forbidden Gate. It was 15 years in the making, more than 10,000 pages of research material. And I have to tell you, I have emerged. Now, I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back because I never intended to be here, but I have emerged as the leading bioconservative voice on this issue. I've personally debated leading transhumanists like Dr. James Hughes on their own shows. In their most recent conferences, they have called me out by name. And, I mean, they consider me now to be the enemy of their movement. And we're talking about all the way up to the U.S. National Science Foundation report writers for Ethics of Human Enhancement, 25 Questions and Answers. Dr. Patrick Lynn calling me out by name, writing articles at the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies, a leading online transhumanist think tank. And it's because what they don't want is what I do want. I want conservatives, first of all, to become aware of what's happening, to understand how quickly the government is saying this is going to start unfolding, and to get involved in the discussion, because, frankly, that'll be the only true hope, in my opinion, that the future has with regard to this issue. But it is coming. And both sides, by the way, both sides, bioconservatives.
In all honesty, there are some technologies I personally believe it is not for humans to go there. Unfortunately, like you say, once the technology is created, it is never uncreated. In a treatment on your new book, and the entire title, by the way, we said it's Forbidden Gates, but it's Forbidden Gates, How Genetics, Robotics, Artificial Intelligence, Synthetic Biology, Nanotechnology, and Human Enhancement Herald the Dawn of Techno-Dimensional Spiritual Warfare. That's the title. And in the treatment, you state, and I want to read this passage here, if you're a person that is happy living in a matrix, cradled in the warm embrace of illusions, we recommend you lay this study aside and enjoy your remaining days uninformed. But if, like millions of others around the world, you have recently awakened with a sense that something foreboding is unfolding on Earth, if you believe that a global event, which so far nobody has been able to clearly explain, is on the horizon, if you feel whatever is happening is both physical and spiritual, yet you cannot solve the conundrum of what is stirring beneath the surface, if you hunger to discern the meaning behind the raging turmoil enveloping nature, societies, and global politics, this information is for you. My question to you, what global event do you believe is on the horizon for humanity?
What I believe is what is reported now in taxpayer-funded reports. And by the way, since taxpayers paid for these, they ought to read them. They ought to read what is being said in these reports. Let me give you an illustration. And by the way, I believe that what they are reporting in these reports is correct. I believe that it's going to unfold as quickly as they say that it is going to. Let me give you just two very quick illustrations. This is I'm holding in my hands the Global Government 2025 at a Critical Juncture report. This was published in September of this year. This was published 6 weeks ago.
That's amazing. I actually have been reading the report cover to cover. I'm into Appendix B right now.
Well, let me if you haven't yet read what I will quickly point out, you may find it to be
interesting. Absolutely. It's just very interesting that you mentioned that report. Please go ahead.
Well, and so you know already that this was written as a unified study between the National Intelligence Council in the United States, working in tandem with Europeans, with the European Institute of Security Studies. And here's what they say on page 35. They say, so we can kind of set this up, since I'm very happy you're reading this. You're the very first show I've done. I'm doing 11 hours of radio and television a day, and you're the first person who is reading this report. So thank God Almighty that there are some people that are engaged in what is quickly unfolding. Here's what it says on page 35. Now, to set this up, what the intelligence communities of the United States and Europe are saying in this report is what might be the causal agents. Now, this could, of course, be triggers that they themselves set in motion. But on the surface, what they're saying is, what might be the causal agents that would set in motion the need for global government, for all of the most serious powers on earth to come together and begin working together as a global entity, a global governance? And on page 35, here's what they say. No forum currently exists for dealing comprehensively across the scientific community, industry, and governments on measures needed to diminish the risk posed by the biotechnology revolution. Now, let me just quickly say, let me just jump down so I don't get bogged down in this. In the next paragraph, in addition, biotechnology, which the OECD thinks will potentially boost the GDPs of its members, can drive new forms of human behavior and association, creating profound cross-cultural ethical questions that will be increasingly politically contentious. Few experts believe that current governance instruments are adequate for those challenges. For example, direct modification of DNA at fertilization is widely researched with a goal of removing defective genes. However, discussions of future capabilities open the possibility for designing humans with unique physical, emotional, or cognitive abilities, end quote. So what our intelligence community has just reported,
sorry, I just couldn't resist.
Well, hey, look, what our intelligence community, what the European intelligence community is saying, and this is just one of numerous government reports people can download and read for themselves. By the way, they can go to ForbiddenGate.com and download these reports, read them for themselves, so they know that what we're talking about on this show tonight is not some figment of our imagination. We're not sitting here with tinfoil caps sitting on our heads. This is the real deal. It's coming very soon. And our global intelligence communities are saying it is one of the triggers, if you will, that could set in motion the need for global government to try to deal with the fact that now we have enhanced humans that are representing a new kind of unprecedented lethal force against which the police communities of the world are not ready to handle. Does this sound like a setup?
I'm telling you this. Understand, I'm by the way, the passage you read is one of the passages I have highlighted for commenting when I get through the report. It's fascinating what you're coming up with right now. But I'm an avid science fiction novel reader. The late Dr. Isaac Asimov, prolific science fiction author and brilliant man, he actually coined the term robotics and what's the other one? What they call the brain in Star Trek for the robot. I don't remember the term. But what I'm saying is much that used to be science fiction 100 years ago, 80 years ago, 70 years ago, today is science fact. And so a lot of the issues, the ethical issues, the moral issues, I've read all about them in these stories, in these fabricated, conceptualized futures of genetic engineering and manipulation of the DNA and all of that stuff. And I'll tell you, I don't think we're going to have anywhere near the time to discuss it. I'd love to bring you back to the show to have a discussion on those particular aspects of this. You know, when do people actually become artificial beings? Do they have the same rights as non-artificials? If they don't have the same rights, I mean, there's a whole discussion in that. So before we go on here, I want to ask you if you'd be willing to come back to the show to discuss some of this stuff.
Well, I certainly would. But look, let's just cut to the chase on one question. When will they start becoming artificial beings? They already are in thousands of laboratories around the world. Anybody that reads the news can read about the human-animal chimera research that is happening in research laboratories around the world at the embryonic level. All of, you know, when Bush in his 2006 State of the Union address called for legislation to prohibit patenting transgenic animals, human-animal chimeras, and he put restrictions on stem cell sciences that Obama immediately overturned at the executive level when he came into office, that then allowed tax dollars to to start flowing into stem cell sciences. But what most people don't realize is that almost entirely all of the stem cell sciences is based on using animal eggs and human DNA to create living chimeras. Now, here's the next step in this, though, and this is coming out of the United Kingdom, where scientists there, who 24 months ago were part of the embryology discussions and were seeking to get taxpayer-funded revenue for creating human-animal chimeras, which are supposed to be destroyed after they extract their stem cells. Well, there was a recent Reuters News article. Once again, we're not talking about tabloids or Weekly World News. Reuters News interviewed these scientists. The name of the article, if somebody wants to Google it and read it for themselves, the name of the article was called "Scientists Want Debate on Animals with Human Genes." And the whole article starts out, a dog with human hands and feet, pigs with Down's syndrome, or something like that, and goes on into the article. And what these scientists are now saying is they've been doing the research over the last 24 months. They are fully comfortable, the article says, with 50-50 human-animal integration, and now they want to know if the public will be comfortable with giving them tax revenue to continue there in the UK in this research to grow these things to full maturity. So now we're talking about like the movie Splice, and they want to know, and furthermore, they indicate in the interview with Reuters News that some of their colleagues already are. They're just not using, federal tax dollars. They're not using public funds.
Well, they're not
using
admitting
private
it.
Funds. But they're already raising these things to full maturity. Now, look, anybody with any common sense knows that this is a fact, that the government and the private military laboratories, the SAPOC budgets, the dark budget, are always at least 20 years in advance of anything like this that we're reading in the public. So I think, frankly, I think this technology is highly advanced. And furthermore, I'd say this. If a person reads our book, Forbidden Gate, they're going to be surprised because we actually photocopied out of the 2011 DARPA's presidential budget, their 2011 budget, two pages from their budget is in our book. And those two pages, one of the line items shows millions of dollars that is set aside for literally editing soldier DNA, genetically reconstructing soldiers. And the second line item in the 2011 presidential budget is for creating biodesign, which is a mysterious artificial life, a living, what Wired magazine, who got the leaked document, what they wrote an article on, living, breathing, immortal creatures that have been militarized. And we don't even know what the heck that even means.
No, but I have to tell you, while I'm listening to you, literally, I am physically feeling sick. My stomach is churning. You know, I could feel the bile in there. All I want to go over to the bathroom and puke as I listen to this. And then it's almost like, to add the injury to injury, okay, it's your tax dollars that are funding all of this. I mean, even if it was private money, I would be somewhat sick that we are doing this to our own race, our own species. And it's somehow it's spitting in the face of God. But
well, hey, listen, and this is why I put out an open letter to Christian leaders on biotechnology and the future of man. It went across the wire. It was picked up by Wired magazine and published. It was published at, I think, WorldNet Daily and News with Views and a bunch of other places. That was what caused Patrick Lamb, who is the co-author of the new United States National Science Foundation report, Ethics of Human Enhancement, 25 Questions and Answers. That's what caused him to go to ballistic at the IEEP, because he did not like the fact that I was telling conservatives, you better read this report, because these people right now, they're writing the grants, they're getting the grant applications processed, and they are the ones who right now are establishing the guidelines by which you and your children and your grandchildren are going to live with regards to public policy concerning human enhancement. Okay, he attacked me. He said, we don't mind people who are of a religious mindset to get involved, especially if they support transhumanism, but we don't want theists who believe in a personal God. We don't want them in, we don't want them involved in this discussion. And this is the co-author of a publicly funded national science report. And I said, well, pardon me, I'm a taxpayer. I am going to get involved in this discussion, whether you like it or not. Okay, here's the opening line to the NSF report that the listeners to this show, if they're Americans, they paid for. Here's the opening line. It is not just the world around us that we desire to change. Since the beginning of history, we have also wanted to become more than human, to become homo superior, from the godlike command of Gilgamesh to the lofty ambitions of Icarus, to the preternatural strength of Beowulf, to the mythical skills of Shaolin monks, and the various shamans and shapeshifters throughout the world's cultural history. We have dreamt and still dream of transforming ourselves to overcome our all-too-human limitations, end quote. And then they literally go on in there. They talk about people with prosthetic flippers, people who want to become an aquatic animal.
Hang on.
Yeah.
We're just about out of time. There's a couple other things I want to get to, but I am definitely going to bring you back because we have a lot to talk about Dr. Thomas Horn. Do you think the future you envision is a fait accompli? Is it a foregone conclusion, or can we stop it, and if so, how?
I think the only hope is that people get involved. I've always believed in the people. I always believe. Look, I am a conservative libertarian. I believe in the power of the people. I'm an old hippie. I grew up during the hippie movement, and I saw hippies, you know, before they ever even had. They didn't have the technology we have today. They didn't have the internet. They didn't even have cell phones. But they started writing their songs. They wound up at Woodstock, and they were, you know, griping about
the
war.
They changed the world.
They changed politics, and pretty soon, the politicians who at first were mowing them down with water cannons in front of the White House were marching in their marches. Well, you know what? I think that's the key. We have got to get people aware of what's going on, make them aware of it, let them get involved in the discussion, and that's the power that can change this.
How do they find out more about your work and the work you're doing to get this information out?
Well, first of all, go to Forbidden Gate, singular, not plural, ForbiddenGate.com, and there's hours of movies there on the technocalypse, the coming movement. You can read the government's reports for yourself. You're going to be astonished at some of what you read.
Now, I have a second website for you, this Raider News Update. Is that you?
Raiders News Update is me. It is the world's leading website on this subject. We get tens of thousands of visitors a day. So RaidersNewsUpdate.com. Oh, one last thing. The only place in the world where you can get a copy of the book, Forbidden Gate, is at SurvivorMall.com.
SurvivorMall.com. And that information is also on ForbiddenGate.com, I assume. Dr. Thomas Horn, thank you. It's not enough time. I will bring you back. We got a lot to talk about. Thanks so much for spending this time with us here on the Global Freedom Report.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.